How many of you remember what this is? It's the journal. Hopefully you've grabbed one of these. If you haven't grabbed one of them, if you're a visitor with us, you can grab one of these. They're on the back table. If there's none there, I will get some after service. Just let me know. Haven't introduced myself. I'm Pastor Shannon, if you're new here. I'm Pastor Shannon. This life journal, we introduced that this year. And what it is basically it's an encouragement to get into the Word. It's an encouragement to connect with the Spirit in prayer. It's an encouragement to dig down deep into God. And so there's basically, when you open it up, there is a table of contents, so, and there's a Bible reading plan. So, I don't know, some of us, maybe most of us have tried different Bible reading plans, and we maybe last maybe 3 days, then we miss a day, and then we get back into it, and then we try to catch up on the day that we missed, plus the day that we're on, and then it just goes haywire, it seems. When you do those kind of things, and when you use this kind of stuff, if you miss a day, just work on the day that you're at, and just keep on doing that. So we just encourage that. But this life journal basically is to record your thoughts, your interactions with God. There's a prayer list in there. You can record all your prayers and write them down. And if they're answered, check those off. And there's a table of contents that you can write in there what God spoke to you that day. And so we just encourage you to grab that. And interesting enough, I was doing mine yesterday, and I had prepared my sermon through the week, and as I was reading through my devotion, lo and behold, I'm going, the Lord is providing sermon material for me on Sunday. And I'm like, that is so cool. So it kind of works all together. So that stuff can happen. And for me, more times than not, when I'm digging into my devotional life and doing that kind of stuff, then God speaks very clearly. Very clearly. So, encourage you to do that. Interesting enough, what is the one technology that has affected our world and changed our world more drastically than anything? What do you think? What? Mobile phones. Okay. Internet. Okay. Larry, you need to go to prayer. The bicycle. Actually, instead of the bicycle, it's the wheel, right? You guys said mobile phones and internet, right? But what made mobile phones and the internet possible? Technology, but what specifically? Nah, TV's based on it too. Sound, we're getting closer. Sound waves, yes. Frequency, radio waves. Did you know that internet and phones and TV and radio and your baby monitor at home, all these things, your microwave, how many of us have a microwave? How many of you remember when a microwave came out? I know, yeah. Did you go out and buy one right away as soon as you discovered there was a microwave? Why? You weren't sure of what it was going to do. Well, my mom, when she was dating, she met this guy, and so she started dating him, and he invited us over for supper. My mom was kind of impressed. She goes, a man that can cook. Ooh, that is a good thing. Good thing, guys. You can cook. So he invites us over, and we come over. And you know, I'm the kid, right? That comes with the package. And so he's cooking some meat and some roast beef and that kind of stuff and some vegetables and he shows off his microwave. He's like, look, I don't know if you've ever seen one of these before. It's like, I got a microwave. It's like, oh, cool, okay. So he makes the vegetables in the microwave. He makes the potatoes in the microwave, and he serves them. Well, in those days, vegetables didn't taste like vegetables from a microwave. or the potatoes. The interesting thing is, technology, radio waves, have so far pushed our society forward in so many ways that we forget the simplicity of what made everything possible. And that was a simple radio wave. Do you know the simplest way you can make a radio wave? Or tune into a frequency? You take a battery, and you take some wire, and you connect the plus and the negative. And if you take that battery and you put it beside a radio, I should have brought one with me, you can tap that thing, and you'll get static on the radio. That's the simplest way you can make. And what it does is it brings in all the frequencies and the tunes. And everything that's being broadcast, it brings into that thing, and it focuses it. But lo and behold, when they were making the radio, it's like it wasn't just that simple. You actually had to develop something of a tuner. And what the tuner would do would be what? Remember in those old cars? Like I'm talking about a Chevy Impala 78 that we used to have. And it wasn't like just press the button and it digitally goes to it. Our kids today would have no idea that you actually turn the dial and you gotta tune into the station, right? And you know, it didn't quite come in clear, so you're just like turning it a little bit until you get that perfect signal. And then you go around the corner if you're driving and you lose it, right? Or somebody comes along and they break the aerial off your car, right? Then you can't hear the radio anymore. You can't hear the tune. You can't hear the frequency. Any of you ever had someone come to you, like either your wife, your spouse, your children, your boss, and they go, "Don't you get it? Can't you hear me? What am I saying?" What are they really saying? What frequency are you on? Because you're not on my frequency. That tends to be the trouble that we get into with what? Communication. They say the most important thing in a relationship is what? Communication. Are you dialed into the same frequency? Are you on the same station? Are you tuned in? Well, we look at this morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And where we're looking at is verse 31. But we're going to read a little bit. The story that we're going to look at this morning is the man born blind. Okay, it's the blind man. And the story of this goes like this, starting in chapter 9, verse 1. As he, Jesus, was passing by, he saw a blind man from birth. Okay? Some people go blind, and some people eventually macular degeneration. Lynette's mom has this. And what that means is you get a spot, and the spot eventually gets bigger and bigger until you're just blind. You can't see. This man was born blind from birth. So, it says, Jesus' disciples questioned him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Stop. Who would you say was responsible for his blindness? His mom or his dad? Neither. But that wasn't the belief back then. The belief was, if somebody was born blind, somebody committed an awful sin. Either the mom or the dad. As we'll discover as we read through the passage, that is exactly what the disciples are asking. That's what they've been taught. That's what they've learned. Jesus says, verse 3, as Roy told us, "Neither. Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him." So what's he saying? Well, he was born blind so that God could do an experiment of glory upon him. I don't know about you, but I don't like that idea. I don't want to be an experiment for God's glory. Oh, check that, but do I? Most people, in our situations, in our lives, things come into our life and we don't understand why it is or why that's happened, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We tend to think bad. But do we tend to think that God is using your life or something in your life as an experimentation for his glory? We don't tend to think that way, do we? What frequency are we on? What station are we tuned to? Jesus says, "We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." What do you take out of that passage? We are to do the work of who? God the Father. That was Jesus' agenda. He didn't have his own agenda, it was his Father's agenda. I've come to do his work. What do you think his work was? To redeem man. To reconcile man. To do the work that his Father wants him to do. He knew his creation had fallen, so he wanted to redeem his creation. So Jesus says, "We." He doesn't say, "I." He says to the disciples, he says, "We must do the work of him who sent me while it is day. Because there is a time coming when we will not be able to do that work." And Jesus calls it night. Each generation, each century, seems to have experienced night and day. And folks, I think we're in a time period now that the night seems to be getting darker and darker and darker. Jesus says we must do the works of him who sent us while it's still day, while there's still light. He says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Well, Jesus isn't here physically on the world with us right now, is he? But his Spirit is. He sent his Spirit into the world to be our counselor, to lead us into all truth, to help us live this life and to engage in our world to share his truth. So in a way, Jesus is still here on the world, but in his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So he says, there's still time. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But there is a time coming when it will become dark, when it will become night. And some of us would refer to that as old dispensationalism, talking about the rapture. Folks, is there a time coming when those who know Christ will be raptured? There is a time coming when the church will be drawn away, and that is a time when daylight will be done, and it will be night. So he says, while I'm still in the world, while you are still in the world, while we are still in the world, let's do his work. Jesus said, after he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on the blind man's eyes. I'd be going, what are you going to do? You're going to spit on the ground with your saliva? Why don't I spit on the ground with my own saliva and you can put it on my eyes? No, that's not the way it works. And so he spread it on his eyes, and Jesus told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the blind man left, washed, and came back seeing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Now the thing we need to realize here is that Jesus comes declaring that he is sent of God, that he's the Messiah, and that he starts doing these works in Israel. These works are works that the religious leaders would test, because there was a test to see if somebody was the Messiah. Could they raise somebody from the dead? Could they make the lame walk? Could they make the blind see? Could they make the mute speak? These were tests that they had in place. So many had come forward and said, I am the Messiah, and many were found and put to death because they weren't the Messiah. There had never, ever been a healing of a man blind from birth. Let that sink in. Never had been. So this man meets this rabbi, his name is Jesus, and Jesus rubs saliva and mud on his eyes and says, go wash. I might stand there and go, yeah, right. How many of us would have obeyed Jesus and, okay, I'll go try it? Maybe if you're desperate enough, right? You'll try anything. And so this man, he goes. Has he heard the stories of Jesus? Very likely. But he's desperate enough, he's in desperate enough condition, he's been blind his whole life, that he goes and does what Jesus tells him to do. His neighbors and those who formerly had seen him as a beggar said, isn't this the man who sat begging? Some said, he's the one. No, others were saying, but he looks like him. Isn't that so true in our world today? Right? Unless I see it, I won't believe it. Unless I trust somebody who actually said it and saw it, I won't believe it. Some things never change. The more things change, the more they stay the same. But how many stories have we heard today about people being healed? I've heard many, 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 many stories of people coming back to life. We've heard of those. Islamabad. What's that? Islamabad? You did. There's a testimony. There's a witness. There you go. It's hard to believe, right? Hard to believe. Because we kind of go, we know what this life is all about, and that you live, you're born, you live, and you die. And that's it. But Jesus said, there is so much more in my kingdom that my power is so absolute, my authority is so absolute, that I can actually raise people to life. Our question is, okay, show me. Wasn't that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, their same attitude? Didn't they say the same thing to Jesus? Show us. Just do this one thing. Or just do this one more time. Or Jesus, raise yourself from the cross. And yet he raised Lazarus from the dead. What's your frequency? What are you tuned to? Is it the same God? Is it the same Jesus that the Bible speaks of? Is it the same frequency that the blind man speaks of? Because we go forward, and what happens? Obviously, the blind man is healed, right? He can see. When something incredible happens to you, do you keep it to yourself? No. No, you don't. Maybe if you won like $10 million, I'm not telling a soul. Right? But this man is healed, and he has not seen in his whole life. I saw a YouTube post of a man who could see, but he did not. There was something wrong with his vision that he could not see colors. It was only black and white that he could see. There's technology today that they made of glasses that for folks like that, they can put it on, and then all of a sudden they see colors. I watched this guy. It was his birthday. And his wife had bought these glasses for him. And so they gave them to him, and he opens up the box, and he sees it's a pair of glasses. Right? Doesn't think anything of it. And then she says, put them on. And they're taping this. And so he puts it on, and man, the guy just stood there, frozen, and looked, and looked, and looked. Can you imagine? Every tree would look to him would be black or gray or some tone in between. All of a sudden he sees green, rich green. Flowers that have color. He never saw that before. He started to weep, cry uncontrollably as he continued to look. Can you imagine? This is the blind man. He can see. He sees these colors. He sees these things. And man, I imagine he probably cries. But then he's like, I can see! Starts yelling this. Going up and down the roads. I can see! I can see! I can see! And everybody's going, isn't that the blind man? No, that's not him. It can't be him. It looks like him, but it's not him. Because that had never happened ever before in the history of Israel. That anybody born blind could see. So what happens? The religious leaders hear this. They probably even saw this guy. Let's interview this guy. Let's talk to him. So they bring him forth. They brought the man who used to be blind to the Pharisees. That day, the day that Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes was a Sabbath. Remember that, it's a Sabbath. So again, the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, he told them, and I washed and I can see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Can you imagine? A blind man in your presence, he can see, you know he can see. But what's most important to the Pharisees? Keeping their position, their control, their influence. This does not happen. They're hearing the stories of Jesus, and now the signs are coming about. The stories are coming about, and they're still keeping to what? Jesus is not he. He is not the Messiah. No, he doesn't keep the Sabbath. He can't be. Anybody of God would keep the Sabbath. I'm going to do attendance from now on Sundays. And anybody that isn't here is not of God. How many of you would agree with me? Not a soul. Next week. I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks, so I'm not a man of God, guys. So, how ludicrous. We're going to ignore the miracle, and we're going to stick to the law. That man is not of God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a sinful man perform such signs? And so there was division amongst them. They knew this. People knew the law. They were taught that, you know what? The Messiah, if he is he, will do these things. Raising the dead will not be impossible. Causing someone to see will not be impossible. Causing someone to hear and to speak is not going to be impossible for the Messiah. Well, here's the evidence. What frequency are the Pharisees tuned into? What frequency are they tuned into? Again, they asked the blind man, as if not once, but twice, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? Okay, the blind man only knew Jesus as a rabbi, as a teacher, right? His answer says, he's a prophet. Okay, so Jesus used to be here, Now Jesus is here in this man's eyes. He doesn't say he is the Messiah. He says he's a prophet. Okay? The Jews did not believe this about him, that he was blind and received sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had received his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, the one you say who was born blind? How then does he see?" Okay, you guys have kept up this charade for forever. Since we've known you in the community, in the religious community, you're well known. People know you, he's been blind, and now he can see. Why did you lie? Why did you lie? They're fearful because they don't want to lose their community. They don't want to lose their connection into society, the parents. So what do the parents do? He's of age. Why don't you ask him? They totally bail on their son. They totally bail. "We know this is our son," they say, "and that he was born blind." "We do," his parents answered. "Ask him, he's of age, he will speak for himself." So they're like, "Yes, this is our son, he was born blind, but ask him, we'll back out. He can defend himself." His parents said these things because they were afraid of the Jews, since the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him as Messiah, who? Jesus. He would be banned from the synagogue. Banned from community. Some communities are small, some are big. The bigger the community, the less you hear. But the smaller the community, everybody knows. So everybody's going to know if this family gets banned from the synagogue. They're black sheep. They're just as good as the Samaritans. Even worse, because they're apostate. They say, "This man is the Messiah." We know he's not the Messiah because why? He doesn't keep the Sabbath. He's false. This is why his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." We're bailing, man. We're not losing our status. We're not losing our community. You're on your own. So a second time, they summoned the man who had been blind and told him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." Ooh. So Jesus just hasn't been condemned because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. But now he's a sinner. What's blasphemy? Calling something evil that is good. Simple version, simple idea. They're calling Jesus not a man of God, but a sinner because he does not keep the Sabbath. Well, you know, ultimately they were right because God, Jesus, became the ultimate sinner. He took all our sin and died and rose holy and redeemed everybody. He was the ultimate sinner who didn't sin and was a saint. He answered, "Whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I can see." Regardless of your theology, regardless of what, if you guys call him a sinner because he doesn't keep the Sabbath or whatever it is, I know I can see. I was blind, I can see. Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" Like they won't accept the word, the truth. They won't accept his story. Like, somewhere in between you've got lost. "I already told you," he said, "and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You don't want to become his disciples too, do you?" Oh! The blind man is taking the Pharisees to school. Right? He's a blind man. He's like, no status. He's not an important guy or anything like that. But he starts to teach them theology. Do you guys want to follow him too? So they ridicule him. "You're the man's disciple. But we're Moses' disciples. See, Jesus and Moses don't align. They're not the same. He's not the Messiah that Moses spoke of, that the Old Testament spoke of. He does not line up. He's a sinner. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. He heals on the Sabbath. He does work on the Sabbath. Oh, no. Really? So the man says this. Oh, they continue on. They go, we know that God has spoken to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he's from. Thinking they're smart, right? The blind man says, this is an amazing thing. This is an amazing thing. The man told him, you don't know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. Like, you guys don't know the scripture? You guys don't know your own teaching that taught that the Messiah would be one that could do anything? Could raise someone from the dead, could cause them to hear, could cause them to see, could cause them to speak. And you guys don't know where he's from? That is truly amazing, because I thought you guys knew everything. Because that's who they were. The religious leaders, they were the leaders of the society. Everything revolved around them and their interpretation of the Bible and the scripture and what Jesus said and what God said, and they followed that. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. This is the coup d'etat. You have taught that God doesn't listen to sinners, and we agree with that. If your relationship isn't right with God, or if you're not following him, you're not obeying him, and doing as he wants, and give glory to him, you're a sinner. But if anyone is God-fearing, these are your own words, teachers of Israel, if anyone is God-fearing, reverent, awe of God, fears God, actually, and does his will, God listens to him. So where is he going? This man, if he is not of God, would not be able to open my eyes. That's where he comes down to. The Pharisees see it. They know where it's going. They're getting trapped by, you know, this everyday, maybe he's a farmer, maybe a peasant, he's a beggar. He's a beggar. He knows the theology of Bible and scripture better than they do. He's saying, what frequency are you tuned to? What frequency are you tuned to? All the evidence is right here. You guys have said it yourself. The man is standing right here. I'm right here before you. I can see. And you guys call him a sinner because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. And that God doesn't listen to sinners. So God doesn't listen to this Jesus. But yet, I can see. This man, the blind man, saying, is God-fearing. And he does God's will. And you know what? God listens to him. God listens to him. What frequency are you and I listening to? Throughout history, no one has ever heard someone opening the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. Not a thing. So where does this lead? The Pharisees, as a slight and an insult, because they can't win the argument, they've already lost, say this, you were born entirely in sin, they replied, and are you trying to teach us? And then they threw him out. Some interpret that throwing out just from their presence, but others say from the synagogue. I would believe the synagogue. Because we don't want that evidence inside. We're going to lose control. We're going to lose our influence. We're going to lose our power. We are thoroughly convinced that this man is not the Messiah. And so if there's any yeast, get rid of it. They're doing the biblical thing. But yet, they're not tuned to the evidence before them. Are we tuned to God? Are we tuned to what He said? Are we tuned to the work He has for us to do while it's still day? Do the work that Jesus has us to do. And that's reaching our community. That's sharing the gospel. Everybody's responsible for that. This coming year, we're going to share the gospel. We're going to learn how to share the witness of the gospel so that we do the work while it's still day in our community, wherever we are. Because I wouldn't want to go before God and Him say, "You didn't hear me. You didn't listen. You weren't tuned into my frequency. You think you know me, but you don't." Because He says, "Those who know me do my will, do my commands," He says in John 14 and 15. You guys remember King Hezekiah? Right? King Hezekiah was a good king. He did the will of God. Do you remember who King Hoshea is? King Hoshea ruled at the same time as King Hosea, but he was the king of Israel, and Hezekiah was the king of Judah. Well, King Hoshea, when he was faced with Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, and was threatened, what did he do? He went and called on his neighbor from Egypt and said, "I'll pay you tribute if you come and fight for me and protect me." King Hoshea led Israel down the worst of places. Idol worship, worshiping on the high places, burning incense, giving their children to foreign gods in the fire. King Hezekiah did exactly the opposite. He didn't do those things. He tore down the high places. He tore down the shrines. He reinstituted temple worship. He made the Sabbath day holy. He practiced it himself. The king was responsible for who? He was responsible for the nation. He had actually taken the place of God now, because the people said, "We want to be like the nations around us, so we give us a king." So God says, "Okay, I'll give you a king. But this is what the king's going to do. He's going to rule you. And he's going to do some things that you don't like. He's going to put your sons and daughters into his service. He's going to tax you. He's going to do all these kind of things. Because you refuse to have me as your king." King Hezekiah, good king. But he has a weak moment. When he's faced with the king of Assyria, who, having defeated Israel and defeated the nations around, continues to go into Jerusalem, and it's now not King Shalmaneser, it's King... who? Sennacherib. There we go. Thank you. It's King Sennacherib. And King Sennacherib sends out his emissaries to Judah and says, you know, basically, give up. No king, no nation's God has been able to stand before us, so give up. Don't listen to your king who keeps on encouraging the people, stand with God, stand with God, stand with God. But as the army is gathering, King Hezekiah does something. And when the emissary comes, the emissary, basically King Hezekiah says, "What do you guys want?" "Well, start off with, you can give us 11 tons of silver and 1 ton of gold." How much is a ton? Huh? What would be the picture of a ton? A dump truck? That's way more than a ton. But there's a lot. So King Hezekiah goes, "Okay, I can do that." So what does he do? He strips the treasury, the king's treasury, and he strips the temple of all his gold and silver and puts it all together and sends it to them. What happens? "Well, surely if you're willing to give us all that gold and silver, you're willing to give us more. We actually, that's not what we want. we're going to rule you now. And so what happens? King Hezekiah goes and speaks to his prophet, and they seek God and ask God to deliver them. And what happens? God does. See, even our best persons, ourselves, we're focused on God, we're focused on Jesus, we're living the Christian life, everybody stumbles and loses the channel, the frequency at some point. But God is a forgiving God, we know that. He's a loving God. And he says, get back on the channel with me, and we'll continue on. And good things will be planned and happen. And it says that Hezekiah followed God and prospered in everything and everywhere he was. Hezekiah. As opposed to who? King Hoshea, who abandoned God, didn't tune into his frequency, and left him. Who do you think was blessed as a result of the story that was told in John? The Pharisees or the blind man? Blind man for sure. So we should do and be likewise. We take that encouragement. This would be the word. Take root downward and bear fruit upward. Take root downward. What's that mean? Get into God. Draw near to God. Abide in God. Get into the word. Get into prayer. Get into your community. Get into the community here, brothers and sisters. Follow him closely. Take that downward root and make it strong, because a tree that has strong roots isn't easily removed. It doesn't fall over. But instead it does what? It bears fruit. And good fruit. So take root downward. Bear fruit upward. Jesus said you can tell if a tree is good by what? Its fruit. So he says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. What's our frequency? The man who is blessed by God, who is heard by God, does his will, does his work. He says that very plainly. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. So, do his will. That's the commandment to us, to do his will. And he will listen, he will hear, and he will bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for your words this morning. We thank you for your story. We thank you for sharing with us that you do hear us, you want to hear us. But we have to be tuned into your frequency. We have to be doing your will. We have to be engaged in it. As you said, as Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. Would that be our prayer as well this morning, Lord Jesus? In your name we pray. Amen.